What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here. We have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ Irk. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Man, I'm DJ Irk, live from Savannah, Georgia. You can find me at Port Larry's Bar, downtown Savannah, in the City Market region.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. So we want to hear your story of your journey in the DJ industry. So you could tell us right from the very beginning, you know, what sparked your interest to become a DJ and kind of walk us from there.
All right. Why did I become a DJ? Funny story. I was your average club attendee to start out with. Always was a band geek, though. But going to the clubs, I noticed the DJs weren't, what's the word? From a musically perspective, they weren't on point. Like, it was a lot of clashing, a lot of breaking, the transitions wasn't as good. And this was around when YouTube first started. I was like, I think I can do this. So I went on YouTube, learned how to pretty much taught myself what I thought was correct. And started out in actually Oklahoma, or actually Savannah in college, excuse me, back in 2008. Excuse me, I lied, six. Bought a little Hercules controller, taught myself what I thought were the basics. Then I just progressed with everything going on. 2008, I joined the military, the United States Air Force, Security Forces member. I did that for about 11 years. So in between that time span, I was stationed in many different countries, Iraq, Korea, Afghanistan, Oklahoma, California. So I was able to DJ and take this skill that I've learned that I taught myself and build a brand on it throughout these many different countries while building my platform in the military, doing a bunch of military balls and other military functions throughout my 11 years. So that brings you now to today, 2021. I'm recently separated from the military as of a year and a half, May 31st, 2019, free man. Now I DJ full time, again, Port Larry, Savannah, Georgia, and I rock out four nights a week.
Awesome, brother. Super amazing intro, man. You saw a need in the market and you said, hey, I can do this. You was going to the club and just like saw that you can break into the industry and pretty much provide a need and a service that, you know, people weren't offering to the level that you think that you can do it. And having that confidence to just jump in, you kind of just was able to jump right into it and begin your journey. Then, you know, you had some experience in the military, traveling the world, doing a lot of different things. And now you're back as a full-time DJ and you're really having a good time, as we talked about in the beginning of the pre-show. So we're super excited, man, to just talk about some of the things that you were able to learn during this journey. We like to use this podcast as a way to share your story, but then use your story to help other DJs in the industry. So what are some of the things that you learned throughout this journey that kind of has helped you progress in your DJ career?
Man, the biggest thing I would say is just taking constructive criticism. Being in the military, alpha male, I always think I'm right on everything. But taking constructive criticism, and it's a lot of old head DJs that want to teach some of us younger guys, but a lot of us are too stubborn and are closed-minded. I'm just an open-minded individual, so I learned to take this criticism. It opened up many doors to where, and it was times where I didn't have gear. Old head to say, hey, man, I got you, and teach me the ways when it comes to phrasing, transitions. It just bettered my whole craft just from networking and taking constructive criticism.
Nice, man. That's a super important trait because a lot of DJs out there think that, hey, you can just do it on your own and you're not really able to grow if you just listen to your own self. You have to really take feedback from other people because they're watching you from the outside looking in and they're able to give you really that raw feedback that you need to improve. So don't have that arrogance. Really be open-minded to hearing criticism and feedback and then taking it to improve your skill set, because any form of feedback is there to help you. It's not there to hurt you. You know, so definitely right. Make sure that you're just using it to elevate yourself to the next level. It's an amazing lesson that you learned, brother. You know, what else did you were able to kind of learn? Like some of the lessons that you know now as a mature DJ that you wish you knew when you're first getting started?
Everybody in the club DJ community is not your friend. Everybody's not there to see you succeed. I'm an open-minded individual and I take everybody in until you cross me or prove me wrong. I just noticed everybody's not your friend and you just got to take everybody at face value till they prove you otherwise.
Wow. No, that's an important lesson that you learned. I would love to hear, you know, did you have any issues or any situations that happened in your journey that really kind of gave you that learning lesson? You want to dive deeper into that? I think these stories are super important for people to hear the context so they understand when these things happen to them, how they go about it and make a better situation out of it.
Okay, I get more so I'm a networker individual. Any DJ I see, no matter what city, what state, what country, I'm a network. I'm going to try to get to know who that person is. Not that I'm trying to take their job or anything, just to, I feel like it's a community. You never know who can scratch each other back. Maybe you might be in Georgia, you can look out for me and vice versa. Everybody loves guest sets in different cities and countries. But more so, I've had opportunity with a network with somebody. He gave me an opportunity to me in my head thinking I was going to fail. And then when I ended up doing well in this set that I was given, it led to the owners of that establishment, or managers of that establishment, trying to book me again. And that's when they became haters. Oh, he's not that good. I'm hearing whispers behind my back. I didn't ask you to give me this opportunity. You chose to, thinking it was going to be different. That opening set, everybody knows the opening set. If you're not a good DJ, it's the hardest set of the night. The closing set, all you got to do is play the hits. I mean, don't get me wrong, the closing set's pretty easy. It's the fun. But the opening set is hard. I got issued the opening set thinking I was going to fail, and I rocked out.
Nice, man. You saw opportunity and you made sure you took it with confidence, and that confidence was able to allow you to land follow on gigs and opportunities, man. And it's super important that, you know, you're going to get some kickback or some, you know, back talk from certain people in the industry, but you can't let that stop you. You have to persevere, because like you said, you know, some people, they don't have the same mindset where they want to help and see other people succeed. They think that your success takes away from their success, and that's actually not the case. There's so much opportunity out there in this world of DJing, and being able to work and collaborate with people, you'll see that there's much more opportunity if you collaborate and help people out. Then you all could rise together as opposed to treating each other like competition. So sorry for that DJ that did that to you, because he's probably going to be missing out on a lot of the blessings that are going to come your way by having that positive mindset and the things that you're doing. So congrats to you on just being able to see through those adversities and be able to make it through. You know, at this time, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk deeper into some of the learning lessons you learned as a DJ, okay?
Gotcha.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here with my brother DJ Irk, and he's talking about his amazing journey in the DJ game, where he saw some ups and downs, but were able to persevere through them. So, brother, talk to me a little bit more. You know, when DJing and you have these moments where people are, you know, not really playing the game in a positive mindset, in a positive way, you know, what are some things that DJs can do to bring more positive people around? Where do they find people that are going to support them and help them move forward in their journey, as opposed to people that are going to bring them backwards? What have you done to kind of build that community around yourself?
Well, for me, it's always those younger DJs, the ones who come to every set, come to every club that you're at, and just show genuine love. Those are the ones I don't mind saying, hey, bro, I got to use the bathroom. Come up here and, man, here go 15 minutes, bro. Rock out. Especially if I've seen them beforehand and they've messed with me. We've, like, in the sound check process, they're there. Hey, man, you mind if I watch? You mind if I learn something from you? Those are the kind of guys I don't mind. Even the more experienced DJs, the ones who on their off time, come in and just say what's up, speak, not trying to take over, ask to get a set, just naturally speak. And you show that, you reciprocate that same love. Like, hey, when I'm off, hey, I'm going to check out your set. Show that, especially if they're a dope DJ, show that love. And then it gets to a point where you guys become on a friendship. Like, all right, this person genuinely thinks I'm talented and genuinely likes my craft. Now they come to you, hey, man, you never know what opportunity arises. Hey, man, you want to collab on something? Hell, you take one of my nights, I take one of your nights. Let's do a swap. Your styles are similar. Our vibes and our different venues are similar. I don't see a problem with it. And that's how it led for me personally to open my door in different venues, because I reciprocated that same energy that was given to me.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I think that you're key at being able to identify genuine people and just being a person, being someone that wants to help and see people have just genuine relationships with others is super important. Like you said, like a DJ could organically just kind of build a relationship with you just by showing their interest and showing their support. And then when it comes to the business, you already established that relationship, and then business opportunities open up. So don't always just focus on what you can get from somebody or what you can do for them or what they can do for you, but figure out what ways you can just be a human and build meaningful relationship, and then opportunities just somehow happen. And that's how pretty much it works. So definitely just be, you know, big on building meaningful relationships, and a lot of the things just work out on its own. So I'm really glad that you knew that and you figured out that lesson very quickly. And it has definitely led to different opportunities for you, man. You know, one thing we love to talk about here on the My DJ Story podcast is your branding. You know, how did you come up with the name DJ Irk, or how did they get that name DJ Irk? And what does that name mean to you?
Good question. Good story. I was in the military 2008. I was a smaller guy, you know, get money, get bigger, your appetite get bigger. But nah, I was a little smaller dude and I looked like Steve Urkel. And so before I even started, I used to go by the name Chi-Town because I went to high school in Chicago. Even though I'm from Georgia, I went to high school in Chicago and I adapted to Chi-Town culture. And so I was like, Chi-Town was my name. And then somebody, they say the best names are given to you. Somebody was like, bro, we know we always call you Urkel. Why don't you change the name from Chi-Town to like DJ Urkel? And I was like, Urkel don't have a good ring to it. It don't sound marketable and it's already taken. So I was like, why don't we just say Urk? And it just kind of stuck and followed me for the next 15 years.
Nice, man. No, super organic. And it was really good that you have a real strong attachment to that. And it's really good that people could hear the story of how you got your name. I think that's super important for DJs to tell their stories, because when people know the background behind the person that they're listening to, they have a stronger connection. And that connection is just another way to build a more meaningful relationship where they want to see you succeed and they want to support you in your journey, man. This is a great, man. And I would love to, you know, talk deeper about, you know, some of the things that stand out about DJ Urk. You know, what about you and that you do that you separate you from other DJs, allows you to get more gigs and really give a different experience for your audiences?
That's a good question. I think for me is, for one, my professionalism. Coming from the military, you have a certain level of professionalism when it comes to just doing business, period. I try to maintain that throughout my personal life and my business life. So I think that helps, along with I listen to being from everywhere and traveling throughout the military, you gather a lot of different music from different places. Living in the Bay Area, California, I learned the hyphy area and those deeper Bay Area artists. Going to high school in Chicago, I know a lot of Midwestern artists that we grew up to listen to, while also being from the South, born in the South. I just feel like I'm different because I can imbibe all those different vibes that are not always radio songs, but those hit middle of the album songs everybody kind of knows that never made it to the radio, into one genuine sound. And I also have a habit of, one of my signature moves is I like to end every set on R&B. It lasts anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. It's always a slow set to wind down the club, kind of filters out the riffraff from the people that genuinely just wants to have fun, and the young ladies. I mean, it keeps the women in, and it turns to karaoke. Last 30 minutes, every woman singing every song I play.
Nice, man. And you create a really nice experience. And it seems like you think very deeply about how you want to go about and set the vibe in the room and kind of transition out the night. And that's super important from a business perspective, because the club owners, they want to know that you're able to control the crowd in a way that can help them generate more revenue and bring more people back. So I like how you think.
I agree.
It's super important for DJs to understand that you're not just there for being able to mix and scratch and do all those things and really just entertain the crowd. It's also a psychology of business that you have to understand. I think you understand that very deeply. So talk about how you go about from a business perspective to do your DJing.
See, that's what I was going to say. A lot of DJs don't understand. I've been to a lot of places where came behind other DJs, and some DJs, I'm not going to say are better than me, but they control the crowd differently. Some of them enjoy for the crowd to be on the dance floor all night. I've learned from my perspective, if I kind of do it in waves, give them a twerk session, then come back with a couple R&B raw wave type vibes, then maybe Dreams of Night, something to build it up, slow it back down. While that's going on, all it is the crowd cycling in to get drinks and coming back. Those people who are got hype in the crowd from dancing or doing whatever, those 5-6 songs are now rotating to the bar to get those drinks because they're tired now. And during that slow set, that mini slow set, those people from the bar are coming back to the dance floor to try to get readjusted before we go back up. So every few songs, I try to go back and forth from up and down. So it's a vibe. It's a big vibe.
You know, that's great. You know, and for people that attend parties and are hearing this, like, it's really something that DJs that are skillful really understand the whole psychology of the party and what role they play in this whole thing of partying. And it's super amazing that you really understand how to play that role to help the whole situation become much more successful, because the nightclub owners are not just looking at, are the people having fun, but are they helping their establishment? And by you playing that great role, it's going to help you build more relationships and more meaningful relationships with these nightclub owners that see this as a business, not just as a big party. So I really like the way that you think, and that's super helpful for all DJs out there to start thinking about what role they play in the nightlife industry and how could you do that role to the best of your ability.
what's crazy is it's honestly the bar owners and managers do play a pivotal part. It's really the bartenders. If you can keep the bartenders happy and they're making money via tips, they're going to always request for you to come back because they're the closest ones in the manager's ear. They're the ones working on a day-to-day basis. So if your bartenders are making more money, I've always learned you're going to always get hired because they're going to keep going back to that manager, that owner saying, hey, the other guy was good, but anytime this guy's here, people are tipping. You're going to get that gig over the next man.
Wow, that is a hidden gem, man. That is a secret weapon that a lot of you just probably didn't think about. You know, when you are really serving everyone there and worried about and concerned about everyone in the equation, you know, not a lot of people think about the bartender and the important role they play and how just serving them can help you in what you're doing as a DJ. So that's a very important point. He said, hey, just being there and helping the bartenders make more tips will lead to you getting more gigs. No one or many few DJs, I would assume, could even understand how that connect, but you were able just to see opportunity where other people are not looking. And that's what makes you a special DJ and make you very special in the industry. I love that, man. Is there any other like hidden gems that you do that you kind of are able to highlight to help DJs understand how to navigate through this industry?
I noticed a while ago, I try not to play for for guys. The men in the crowd are cool, but I play for the young ladies. Not saying twerk music on it. Don't get me wrong, I diverse it up, but if I can keep the women rocking, men are going to show up regardless, no matter what the music sounds like, truthfully. If the atmosphere is full of young ladies, men are going to show up. So if I cater to the women and they're happy, I'm always going to have a crowd full of guys.
Awesome, brother. That was super great advice. And you understand the psychology of parties. So I know any nightclub owner would definitely want you in their facility because it's almost guaranteed if you're there that they're going to be making more money. And that's what really is about. It's about how do you provide a great experience for everyone involved? And then that's how the whole industry as a whole becomes more successful. So I'm glad that you're playing an amazing role in this and you're super great at what you do, brother. What are some things that you're focused on now? And how can our audience and myself help and support you?
Honestly, right now, I'm a full-time student, DJing full-time as well. So DJing honestly hasn't been, like progressing my DJ career hasn't been in the forefront of my life right now. So I've been in a complacent state of mind, but it just works out for me currently. Right now, school is taking precedence, so that's my priority. But DJing is my passion, and that's my job. So that's how I pay the bills.
Awesome, brother. No, I love it, man. I think having education first is always a big thing. I'd love to hear, you know, if you want to share, you know, what are you going to school for and what are your long-term plans with your degree?
I'm going to school for information technology, specializing in cybersecurity. What am I going to do with that? No clue. But computer and IT is a never-ending career field. There's always going to be jobs available. So I picked that career because I'm just good with computers and technology. And again, as always, have me a job as a backup plan in case I get an old DJ that can't get any more gigs.
Nice, man. I love the way you think, brother. You're positioning yourself so that way you have the education, you have the career path, and then DJing is a passion of yours that you can also monetize and make money and build connections from. So I love it, man. This is super amazing. And you're really telling a great story here on the podcast, brother. You know, I would love for you to kind of close out with some advice for DJs out there that are looking to align their goals or their passions with some of their career goals and what you can do, which is kind of give some advice or tips for DJs out there so they can be better in their journey building their DJ career.
That's a deep question. thinking super hard into it because I feel like I can overanalyze this question. Just stay true to yourself. Stay true to yourself, but also be open for criticism. It's so many DJs. Yeah, people are going to undercut you. But if you stay true to your price and know that the price of your talent, it'll fall into place.
Awesome, brother. Super, super great advice. And we really appreciate you dropping gems on this podcast, man. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Ooh, all right. I have a few setups. I'm the house DJ at my bar, so I leave a setup there, which is a DDJ SRT-1000 by Pioneer. It's a four-channel mixer board. I use MacBook Pro, Serato. I think I'm using some old version. I don't update my laptop. My portable setup, I'm a guy who prefers CDJs over turntables. I can use anything, but I have two Nexus 1000 CDJs and an S9 mixer right now that I use for my traveling gigs.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Ooh, that's another good question. Right now, I'm following Kid, the Baby's DJ right now. The way he commands a crowd while he opens up for the Baby is kind of crazy. Not even from a skill perspective, but just the emceeing mixed with the song selection of him just getting that crowd ready for the Baby to come out.
What has been your favorite party or event that you've DJed at and why?
Ooh, favorite party would be a military ball at Travis Air Force Base. I want to say 2017, I believe. About 2017. It's about 700 people just all vibing out to you in military uniform. So when you say military, you see your spectrum of personnel are diverse from middle-aged Caucasian male to you're an 18-year-old African-American male. It's a broad stretch spectrum, but for everybody to party in one location, to vibe out to all the different music was kind of amazing.
Name a nightclub or venue that you highly recommend people should check out, either in your city or just anywhere you like.
I'm going to go to hometown, Poor Larry's Nightclub, Savannah, Georgia.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I'm going to be honest. I never dabbled in the live stream situation. In Georgia, we literally shut down for maybe a month and a half. So COVID didn't affect me and my DJs to where I had to push to the online streaming aspect of everything. So I can't honestly answer that because I never did it.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Man, too many to name. That's a good question. Pretty much everybody from the hometown, DJ Keish, DJ Miami, some of the guys who put me on or mentored me, Soul Man, the DJ, DJ Ivan G. There's so many names, plethora. If you give me time, I can make a list, but anybody who know me, I recommend them.
Awesome, brother. Yeah, we look forward to hearing their stories. And any DJ who wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Plug again, DJ Erk. You can find me on Instagram, DJ Erk. The number's 912. DJ Erk on Facebook. And in person, you can find me at Poor Larry's Bar in Savannah, Georgia, City Market. Tap in.
Awesome, bro. This has been an amazing interview, man. We're super excited to just follow you on your journey. DJ Erk, please, everyone needs to follow you, brother. I really appreciate you sharing your story, dropping gems, real tactical advice on how to get more gigs and serve everyone at the event and really be a team player in the party nightlife industry, man. So thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man. Good to talk to y'all again.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.